Welcome back to Sundial on WLRN. The United Nations held its Climate Action Summit in New York this week. It focused on changes that governments and companies need to make to address the warming climate. The fashion industry is among the greatest polluters globally, and the UN launched a campaign earlier this year focused on the environmental impact of being fashionable. As consumers move towards more eco-friendly options, the growth of thrift stores and secondhand shopping has started trending. In South Florida, major department stores like Macy's and JCPenney have partnered up with the online thrift store ThredUp. Now, when you walk into some of the region's biggest malls, there's a section with secondhand goods at these department stores. What does it take to outfit your home and your family secondhand in South Florida? Do you consider yourself a thrifter? Well, Mike tweeted us by saying his favorite thrift store is World Thrift in Lake Worth because there's always something there that he didn't know he needed. We want to hear from you. Tweet us or message us on social media at WLRN Sundial. You can email us, sundial@wlrnnews.org. Tell us about your thrifting experiences. Joining us today, I have a panel joining me, Constance Collins. She's the executive director of full-time volunteer at the Lotus House Thrift Chic Boutique. There, she assists homeless women and children with special needs and provides them with training programs. Constance, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Also joining us, Joannis Duran. She's the Director of Operations and Sales for Nomad Tribe, a social conscious thrift store located in Wynwood. She also works at the Pivot Market. It's a sustainable store at the Citadel in Little Haiti. And she's helping host a Miami clothing swap this Saturday from 12 to 9 at the Citadel. Joannis, thanks for being here.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Also joining us is Colleen Coughlin. She's the professional organizer, designer, and founder of The Full Edit. This is a company that repurposes and recycles clothing. Colleen, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Okay. Let me start with all of you on this, is this idea of what is thrifting and how do we view it today compared to 10, 20, 30 years ago? I mean, how do you define what thrifting is? And I'll go around the table. Constance, let me start with you.
So I think when we think about thrift stores today, we think about them with purpose. We think about the environment. We think about having an impact on people's lives in thrift stores. And I think it's about living very consciously on this planet.
Do you think it's more about that than the financial aspect of it?
I do. Mm. I mean, yes, everyone loves a bargain at a thrift store, but you can get bargains at regular stores too. So what draws you to the thrift store?
It's, right.
I think it's about making a difference.
Joannis, what about you? Your take. What's thrifting?
Well, at least for me, there's different forms of thrifting. You can go to a physical store in your local community, and majority of thrifting stores have an ethos behind they're doing a good missions in the city that they're located in. At least for me, the way I was raised is when my mom will come in with like a bag, she's like, oh, this is from her coworker. Her daughter no longer wears this, but right. That's another form of thrifting. You don't have to step out of your home. You can look at your friends, look at your coworkers and say, hey, can I go thrifting in your closet? And just swap clothes from there.
Hand-me-downs?
Exactly. Yes, hand-me-down. That's another great word. That's the way that I see thrifting in that aspect.
Yeah. Well. All right. And Colleen, what about you? How do you define thrifting? What is thrifting today?
Well, actually, so the thrift is a verb, and I have it right here from Fashion Revolution. It's the quality of using money and other resources carefully and not wastefully. And that is what is defined for me, because the reason why I started is because there was a working in the fashion industry in New York, there was a ton of waste. And what I saw was value in that waste and how we could reuse it or repurpose it. And I also think thrifting isn't anything new. It's coming from, because when I was growing up, my grandmother gave me all secondhand things.
Right, no, yeah, exactly.
And I thought it was, at that time, I was like, all right, grandma, thanks for this. But now, like, may she rest in peace. But, like, now I feel as though, like, grandma was an OG. Like, she knew what was going on. It's not new thinking. It's, like, depression era
economic. Did you say revolution, by the way? Thrifting revolution?
No, so there's a whole revolution going on called Fashion Revolution, and I'm the point of contact here for Florida. And so Fashion Revolution, I've worked with Joannis on things like this too, is just gathering all these like-minded individuals that have either worked in the fashion industry or see how wasteful it's been. And we're taking it to, I don't want to say like a revolution. We're putting our like-minded individuals together to move forward, to move the dial on, instead of buying less, choosing well, and teaching people how to buy things in a better way.
How much of it is, as I asked earlier, how much of it is the economic side of it, because we have to, compared to that idea of, well, it's good for the planet and I want to do my part?
Well, I think that it's really great to have the humanitarian aspect of, like, you want to do good, you want to, like, support people, like Goodwill, that, like, help people with other barriers find work. Like, I think that's amazing. But also, there's a money thing of it. Like, I paid off my student loans by the time I was 30 because I shopped secondhand all the time. I wasn't going to buy things at full price, because as a design student, you learn that actually the cost of the markup in the fashion industry is like a 2.5 markup. So you understand the value of things. And I think that's what's been instilled in me a lot because of the Depression era kind of economics that I grew up with. But also, there's a finite amount of resources that we can use. So instead of using water and land to grow cotton, which we're all probably wearing cotton or some form of mix of cotton today, we could be using that land to grow food, to like have people be able to eat. So I feel like the economics of things is super significant. And I mean, I could go on.
Well, no, that's what we're here for.
I'd love to add another point. The other part is that you have, for instance, thrifting, you get to go in there, don't go there with a mission, oh, I want to find this. You're going to find all kinds of things and walk out with something you never expected. But the other financial hardship is when you're going into a fast fashion store, the upside down to that is that there's women and men and children that are separated from their families that earn pennies in a month, compared to some of them earn like $2 a month. So you are supporting these, you're creating a demand. When you, let's say you step into Macy's, you don't look at your, you don't look at the brand. You're not researching, who are you supporting? Every time a customer steps in and says, you know what, instead of going thrifting, where you're supporting an organization like Lotus House that takes women off the streets and houses them and their children and provides with daycare, where other local activists are coming in and donating money, helping them write their resumes so that they can get the self-esteem to put themselves out there, you're creating a demand for that woman and that child and that man to continue earning pennies on the dollar. So there's an also, that's the financial hardship. What are we doing? Does it stand with ourselves versus buying sustainably and also thrifting as well?
I wonder if we're also seeing, if part of it is, Colleen, as you said, there is this revolution in the way people think about, you know, again, just their role in the world. But also the other thing, though, is this. I'm going to keep harking on the financial aspect is, yes, we had the recession more than a decade ago, but we also know that there are people still struggling to make ends meet. Are we seeing more people thrift because they have to? I'm just wondering, you know, Constance, do you see that? Do you see people have to?
Well, I mean, certainly at the Lotus House thrift shop.
Yes.
We're clothing our entire shelter, 470 women and children on a daily basis from the clothing that comes through the thrift store. So definitely we see people who have to.
Do you see more people than you used to, or people you never thought you'd see?
Well, I think that we are seeing different trends nationally. I think we're seeing more mothers with children than in prior years. I would just say that for us, thrifting is an economic necessity.
Yes.
If we had to actually purchase brand new the kind of clothing and shoes and furnishings to set up households as women and children are moving out, I couldn't raise that amount of money.
Right.
Instead, the community gives and then we repurpose. And not only does it clothe, it outfits new homes, it creates job training programs.
Yeah, tell me a little bit about, because I don't want to miss the opportunity, about what the Lotus House does. There's a bigger mission. And tell me a little bit about that job readiness program that you're involved in.
Sure. I mean, so many of our women are coming to us who have maybe never worked before or who have not worked in a long time, perhaps for health issues or the health issues of a child. And so having that opportunity to come back into the work world, receive training, get some real world experience under your belt, a reference, a work history, makes you ready, work ready to go out into the regular retail world. That's about not just the handout, but the hand up. And that's what we're looking for.
And Joanna, it just real quickly goes back to something you said too, is that maybe people, I wonder how many people think about this actually, is that if I'm buying from here, it's not just that I'm thrifting, is that, you know, I'm helping somebody I don't even know, compared to if I'm buying at the store and who knows where that was even made, right? Do you think people know that? Do they think that way?
No. And what I think, it's as fast as everyone, when you go into a mall, if you look at them, since I work at a store and I'm constantly analyzing consumers' behavior, everyone's on their phone. So that data is there for you. It's a click away. So when you go to, let's say, Lotus House, Salvation Army, Goodwill, Christie's, when you pick up your phone and you just type that in, their mission is on there, the person who's involved in it, other volunteers are posting about it. So that story is a continuous thread. Versus researching when you're going to a fast fashion store, it always looks beautiful, but the back end, you don't see that.
Right.
So that's when, as a consumer, you have the right to raise the question. And as Colleen, with Fashion Revolution, part of Fashion Revolution started to raise that awareness in putting it into the consumer's hand to say, flip your t-shirt over, take a picture with the tag and ask the brands, tag them all and say, who made my clothes?
Because if you think that they're still not making it in countries far, far away and paying labor very cheap, then it's still happening. We're talking about thrifting. What do you think about thrifting opportunity in South Florida? We heard from Frances Albin, who tweeted us. Her favorite store is Leap's Dragonfly, where fashion meets philanthropy and where former inmates are given second chances. Also, Emiliano tweeted us. I love to buy in Goodwill, where it's cheaper. You give work for people with disabilities, and you can take your youth staff to them. It is great. Share with us on social media, WLRN Sundial, or email us to sundial@wlrnnews.org. Again, I'm talking with Constance Collins, Executive Director of Full-Time Volunteer at the Lotus House Thrift Chic Boutique. Joannis Duran is the Director of Operation and Sales for Nomad Tribe. That's a social conscious thrift store located in Wynwood. And Colleen Coughlin is a professional organizer, designer, and founder of The Full Edit. This is a company that repurposes and recycles clothing. Colleen, you come from the corporate world. You once worked for Victoria's Secret, right?
Correct.
You saw, this is a story I got gathered in the research about you, is that, and this is something that really, I think, had that impact on you, is you saw this immense amount of waste going on. Tell me the story. This is fascinating.
Yeah, so there literally was we would have a get trash day, and I don't know if other companies do this too, but through the production process, what ends up happening is you end up having three samples before you even go and say, like, yes, this is a go-to-market product. So you usually have like a graphic. In this case, there was a graphic sample that needed to be approved. There was a fit sample that needed to be approved. And then what's called a top sample, which is the fit and the graphic together that are like, okay, this is the final. This is the piece that we're going to do and multiply times however many units you're going to order. And so in this day, we would clear stuff out. We would clear out trims, buttons, fabrics, additional resources that a lot of mills and whatnot would want to work with this, would want to work with the brand. So they would send us all these different samples. So in addition to just discarding those and discarding all the samples, we would have like 12 to 15, and I know Joannis has heard this before, like the 11 by 5 by 3 bins of cardboard bins that we were just like putting all this material in. And that's where it was kind of like the aha moment of me thinking of what it was like to be back in fashion design school and what was the most expensive thing. Again, I'm always thinking about the money because of the Prussian era kind of thinking that I had. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is like valuable material that it doesn't have any branding on it. We can donate it to a school or to students to use as their material. And when I was told that it was going, like, no, that can't happen for legal reasons, that it was going to be burned, I was like, wait, what?
So, okay, like, so you had all this material that's being used just to create, what you're doing is you're creating samples to see what was going to be the final product. And that stuff, when it's not, after it's done, you burn it?
So that's what I was told. And like, actually Burberry has been also called out on this too, because it's keeping the brand integrity of something. So instead of going ahead, and this kind of goes along with our thrifting chat, instead of going ahead and buying something or selling something for the brand name at a lower price point, to keep the brand integrity of this purse costing X amount of dollars, they can't sell it at a lower point. So then they just burn it, like incinerate it, which is then also adding to the pollution of things. So,
well, I was trying to figure out also the legal reason that they were, which is, again, they're trying to protect the brand.
Totally. And I understand that 100%. But when things don't have any branding on it, it's to me, that's just super wasteful.
Let me ask all of you this. When's the last time you bought something new?
In about 4 years.
4 years, Colleen? So everything you're buying, you are a full thrifter.
Oh, absolutely. Like, that's why I'm so excited you guys were talking about. Like, this is what I leave, I like live and breathe, like secondhand. Like, all my furniture has always been secondhand. Like, I'm not going to say I'm 100%, because there are some things that, like, well, let's say about 92%, I'm like a secondhand. Like, that's it. Even my earrings that I'm wearing, my diamond earrings that I'm wearing, they're secondhand. Like, I'm.
But clothing, it's.
Oh, yes, clothing too.
Joannis?
The last things I bought are all artisan made. So since I'm in sustainability, I like to support the craftsmanship. I like to support the local makers. And I would say 85% of my closet is secondhand. The rest is all this is made in Mexico. So completely forgot the name of the brand. And it just resonates with me. I'm supporting local women who wouldn't have the income, because in our countries is, oh, it's a machismo. So these women, they hold the power of their communities. Why would I not support that? So that's the other part of myself that I resonate with as well. And everything else is secondhand.
Mm. Constance, what about you?
Yeah, so I like to buy in both directions. But when I'm buying something new, I like to take things that are in my closet and make sure they go to a good cause. So the back of my car is a little bit like a shopping cart filled with donated clothes, okay. And I'm headed to Lotus House Thrift.
What do you say? I'm going to finish with this with all of you. I wanted to get a sense of, what do you say to people if, you know, they're saying to themselves, you know what, I want to do better. I want to do something more, but I don't even know where to begin. And most of the time, you know what life is like. It's life. We got work. We got families. And, you know, we just make the trip to the store the weekend. And if I got to buy something, I buy something. But taking the time to think about these things, what's the advice you give to people and how to start? I'll go around the table. Constance.
I'd say start with your closet. Empty out the things that you don't wear. Make yourself lighter and bring them to a thrift store that's doing something good in the world.
And is it anything? Or I mean, there. Or at the same time, I mean, it still has to be usable, though. I mean,
yes. Okay. But if it's in your closet, you're probably still hanging on to it for a reason. So take it someplace, do something good. And when you go and donate, explore.
Okay. Joannis, what about you? What's the advice you give people?
Get your friends together and have them bring at least 5 articles of clothing. And do a clothes swap party at your own home, or just go online and research clothes swap parties in your area. They're happening everywhere and it's free. So you could walk out of there with like the baddest outfit ever, jewelry, shoes, handbags. And what's great about it, it's that you are inspired by so many other local women or men in your community that you're creating something to talk about every time you wear that garment.
And Colleen, and let me add this caveat is, you know, we're still, fashion type of mentality and we want to fit in, and thrifting, does that, can I get, like, you know, can I look that fashionable?
Absolutely.
Really?
Actually,
sure?
I think that it's even more fun to shop secondhand, because you're not going to look like any of the other people out there, because it's a one-of-a-kind thing. But also, what my advice to people is, and when we do closet edits, one of the big things that is kind of like a mind-blowing is, like, think of the cost per wear. So I say, think of the suit that you need for your interview or whatever you're going for the gentleman. And then I think of the little black dress for women. And for the little black dress, let's say that you're going to buy this dress and wear it 4 times. All right. So at $100, you just did a dress for $25 per wear. So I always recommend that they do that. And then think of the value of it, how many times you're going to wear it.
Good advice. I really appreciate it. Colleen Coughlin, again, is a professional organizer, designer, and founder of The Full Edit. Also spoke with Constance Collins, executive director, full-time volunteer at the Lotus House Thrift Chic Boutique, and Joannis Duran, director of operation of sales for Nomad Tribe. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks.
And that's our program for this Thursday, September 26th. Coming up next week on Sundial, former Broward County Sheriff Scott Israel has new life in his fight to get his job back. A special master report argues that Governor Ron DeSantis should not have removed him from his position. We're going to hear from a Sun Sentinel reporter. We do have a request in to speak with a former sheriff. Plus, a local artist wants you to help in the fight against sea level rise. He's working with Miami-Dade County to get free mangrove seeds to everybody. We'll explain that. And hope you've read the book for this month. Let me tell you what the book is for October for the Sundial Book Club. We're going to be reading a young adult novel, Dear Haiti, Love Elaine, by Maika and Maritza Molitz. Go online, find us on Facebook, and join the club. I'm Luis Hernandez. Have a great Friday, a great weekend. We'll talk again on Monday.